can't tell you how glad and how happy I am. It may take me 2 or 3 hours, so sit down. She said, every phase of a walk in Scripture is all. You just kind of wondered what they were insinuating, and they get clear. When he said, my peace I give unto you, not of this world. Boy, if it's not from here, that means it sure can handle anything that is. And ultra holiness, I just love those people. I just love them when I try to go to different meetings. You know, it looked like I was turning into the wrecking yard. You know, I'd look for a wrecking yard, and it was a parking lot. You know. But I got with some of them that just were so, man, they'd send you to hell over a pair of Levi's. I'm talking about women. I remember they went to beautify themselves, the women did, and they, so a wedding ring was, well, that, things like earrings and stuff like that, a watch, you can have a watch, it had a purpose, but you're not supposed to hang them on your ear. You can't see them, so don't. So I came from a strong holiness and lived under condemnation unless I was full bore. Then it would always come back. Couldn't never do good enough. You know what I found out about the Holy Spirit? Just because you are ugly and doing something wrong and mean, unforgiving, quick to temper, doesn't mean when you don't stop praying, in spite of all those things, yeah, I'm all those things, well, where are you heading? For prayer? Well, why if you're that mean? I don't know. Because when it gets ugly, that's the time not to stop. Oh, no, wait, maybe I got that wrong. He came because you were perfect. Or why are you trying to select the degrees? I've got to just worship him for a minute. You'll just lift your hands kind of half-masked, and maybe they'll pull your body up in a little bit. When his hour came, he said, can you watch with me? And they went to sleep on him. So he moved himself away, and John, Peter, he wept. God had turned his back on him. He had to. He'll never have to turn his back on you. God, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had to. You can bet the angels wanted to come. Oh, they wanted to come, but they had to stand down too. See, doesn't matter what the devil tells you. You're ugly, a failure, you're never going to make it. You're weak. Remember, he'll never turn his back on you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Never. He had to turn it on him. He's judged in your place. He stood before Pilate because he had your shoes on. He couldn't defend himself. Guilty by substitution. You ask him questions he wouldn't answer. Why? So now you can open your mouth and you can give all the answers he couldn't. Surely he's borne my sicknesses and he carried my pains. They were laid on him like he lay wood on a burro's back and transported to the cross. And he died under the penalty of every damnable disease you could name or ever name in the devil's workshop. He already died of them. And I died with him. Those diseases don't have the power to kill me again. I've already died with him. And I'm a new creation. So, no, you don't, devil. No, you don't. He's cut off at a really young age. 33 and a half or so. In substitution, he was cut off at 33, and you're never going to get any older than that. Whether you went to heaven as a child or you're going tomorrow, you're going to find out nobody's over 35. The chastisement of my lack of peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. In Deuteronomy, he was talking about law there. You break the law towards your brother, you go before a judge, and he judges you, and you get stripes according to the law that you broke. But because Jesus was standing down in your place, the chastisement of your lack of peace was laid upon him. He took the full 39 lashes. And it set me free. The righteous judge he went before was God. And he dropped his mantle. Said guilty by substitution, the full penalty. And I go free. With my lack of peace, it was laid upon him. I'm not going to live in turmoil. I'm not going to live in a disease. I'm going to live old and irritate the devil till the last day. Hallelujah. Here we're trying to get God to do something, and he's trying to get us to let him. We need to call a truce and have a meeting. God planned ahead. He tried to do everything to make us winners. He paid all that price. He tried everything, and it finally came down to that Jesus had to say, I won't leave you comfortless. He said, I'll send a comforter. And he'll guide you into all truth. No, wait a minute. I think it said he'll push you. Drag you. Oh, wait a minute. Guide you. That means you have to be moving. It says he'll guide you into all truth. For he shall receive of mine and shew it unto you. And I said, well, receive what of yours? The standing he has with the Father. That's what he'll show you. It's what you have. He shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Well, the word for the Holy Ghost teaching is tutorage. It means that he doesn't takes you one-on-one. One-on-one, as you're just not listening to him exhorting a crowd, which you are now. But privately, he takes you aside because you got a lot of training for your own call. So God's going, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? I've got to guide them into all truth, and they know the Holy Spirit will be their teacher. Just how can we get answered prayer in their life with all their problems? And it's got to be somehow that they can exercise it when they're in their problem and doing other things and working and doing things wrong. And we can't let them know what it is until we get them stronger than it is. And then they'll want to turn loose of it and we'll both jump on it. Edify them above the problem. So what do you do? Language was confounded at the Tower of Babel, but thank God in the upper room. You get somebody that don't speak your language praying in tongues, the same teacher's going to teach them that's teaching you. So come on. When I was grading molding, I'd be praying in tongues. Did you have the message yet? Well, I was doing it because I could. At the mill, I'm so dumb, Ricky. And finally this guy comes over and says, how come your mouth is always moving? I said, I'm praying. He said, oh, okay. So what does he do? He guides you into the truth. When Paul gave a glimpse of his private prayer life, what did he say? He said, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than ye all. Oh yeah? Who was it that filled in all the gray areas? Who had the understanding of the apostles? I mean, he didn't even walk hand in hand with him through his earthly years. Yet he's in there. Jesus just said, put away your wife, married another, commit adultery, and who's married to her commits adultery. All lest it be for fornication. Is that it? No other reasons? Oh my goodness. So what if the... Well, never mind. There's a lot of gray areas. And besides, you just preach it to some Gentiles? They're barbarians, and they got six wives each. Who's going to choose the one? Don't ask Solomon. He is under the law. Seven 700 wives and 300 concubines? I thought he was wise. Who straightened that mess up? Who had the wisdom? Where did he get it from? He said, if I pray in an unknown tongue and speak not unto men, but unto God, how be it? Analyze it. How be it? In the Spirit. This man is in the Spirit. He is speaking mysteries. A man that prophesies is edifying the church. Why? Because the prophecy lets the church know what's in the mind of Christ for them that hour in the city they're living in and where they're walking. Well, he says the church receives edifying from prophecy, but you receive edifying from praying in tongues. But the reason's the same. Church is edified with prophecy, yet he that prays in an unknown tongue speaks mysteries. You're edified for the same reason. Suddenly, somebody says, what's one facet of his voice? I can tell you, you pray a mystery out and you don't know much about that subject. It helps if you assimilate the word, but you don't know much. Then all of a sudden, by revelation, he imparts the whole understanding. The born-again trail was imparted into my spirit in about 1 second. I could never get to the end of it. Yeah, you're edified. Why? Because the mind of Christ is manifested in you. And the understanding of the mysteries which have been hid in God since the foundation of the world is which Christ in you, the hope of glory. When it's imparted by revelation, you know, he can take a revelation and take weeks to preach out. So God doesn't have time to just come and stand here and go, he just goes, then he uses an inner witness for go on and a check in the spirit to stop. Then he leads by visions. I got into trouble with Jehovah Witnesses because of those little visions that hit. All of a sudden you're talking and this vision will just flash across. And you pray in the Holy Ghost, you'll know the difference between whether you created that thing with your mind or it came on its own source. They always make the one that's learning do the witnessing and the older one steps in case they break down. Well, I turned around to the older one and says, you're a girl here that's wanting to talk to me is having a lot of doubt about you. She turns on her and she says, are you? She goes, well, I'm. That's how I left them. I didn't get bothered. They did. Trying to witness to this woman. She wouldn't. Flash. I said, oh my goodness. You don't have any food in your house. All your cupboards are empty. And you don't know what you're going to do. She lost it right there. Got saved. Well, there's many ways he communicates. The thing is, he's the one that's come. Irregardless of your problem. When I'd teach on this all the time in the early days, I'd say, if I got beat up and a tornado hit me and the house fell on me, then it burned. Now I looked like a burnt pancake being pulled down the highway by an earlobe. Somebody say, where are you going? Hot, burned up hot cake pulled down the road by an earlobe. I'd say the prayer. Why do you think the devil's so mad? When he promised you this comforter, then he'd guide you into all truth and showed you what you could do in that person to edify yourself. You think he likes you spreading that all over the planet? You don't. You don't. When you prayed and your emotions and everything,
so I don't want to pray.
Shut up. Looked like last month, instead of helping you, it got worse. But I have faith. I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to keep on. I can guarantee you. It can't stay the same. Now, when I didn't have a whole lot of faith to believe directly the substance of the thing I was looking for into existence, because I didn't even know what was good for me. that I had enough faith to pray. I didn't know that there would be a key, that if you had enough faith to do it, that eventually it would straighten out the others. Boy, did I hate it when he put the fasting key in my hand. Unlock the door of fasting. What does that mean? What does that mean? The holiness people did about as much as anybody I knew. But when I'd added fasting, no matter what area you want to talk in, you're resisting or trying to make it. Each time something would happen to the stamina. Each time something would change inside that would move me forward. And whole areas that used to be absorbed with doubt when it would overtake you, it wasn't able to do it anymore. I got to take another step closer. And then another step. Why don't you go to the 8th chapter of Romans? I'll look at that verse. Whew. Let's just jump in the middle of it here. How about the 9th verse? So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh. But in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And that's the Spirit that he's talking about. It's the Spirit of Christ here. Which, now, I used to have the Spirit of Adam. But what Spirit do you have now? The Spirit of Christ. I didn't have Adam's individual spirit, you know, his, that he was born of, his, Adam. But I had the spirit of Adam. I don't have a little, Jesus isn't standing in me. I don't have the spirit he was born with, but I have the spirit I got born again with, the Spirit of Christ. This is the one he's talking about, the new nature that we received. And then he goes on to talk about your standing a little bit. And if Christ be in you, now, how many of you have him in you? Good, this next part pertains to you too then. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead. It don't feel like it. The body's dead because of what? Sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness, which means, whew, my spirit is life because of righteousness. Thank God. Positionally, I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus because my spirit is righteous. But look what he said about your body. This is also a positional truth. If Christ be in you, yes, yes, then your spirit is seated with him in heavenly places. A positional truth
about my body.
Oh, your body is dead because of sin. What? That isn't how it acted yesterday. Positionally, it's been declared dead because of sin. In other words, if the Holy Spirit never come and filled you, you still have all that you needed in your new nature to stopping the flesh from dominating you. And bring it to a standstill because positionally it has been declared dead. Well, just like my spirit's been declared life because it has entered into it. Well, the hold and manipulation, all those things that have to go with the body has been declared dead because of sin. It really doesn't have the power to reign over me anymore. Positionally, it's declared dead. That's where it's going. Praying in tongues. Here I am, building myself up. I want to walk here, but I'm walking here. And here's the flesh. Ah! Okay. Well, what's all this fasting? You put new wine, you don't put new wine in old bottles. This kind cometh not but by fasting and prayer. What does it do? What does fasting do? Yes, go hungry. Don't eat. I think I'm going to fast. No, you don't want to do that. What's your favorite cake? 3-layer chocolate. No. Or to fast. You can't do that. He'll do anything he can to stop you. Because fasting executes. It enforces the positional truth that your flesh has been declared. So you start fasting and it tries. So I'm calling myself free. I'm free. It's fast. Executing that death fast. No. And you get above it. And all of a sudden, the stuff it was holding back starts coming in. And you wonder, what in the world happened? Well, he's wanted to give it to you the whole time. And now, you passed up that place where you couldn't believe for it. Fasting executes the position that your body's declared. And the flesh has been dominating you in that area. And when it's driven down below, and the position that's been declared, which is dead, we think, well, I moved God. No, you just moved the stuff that was in the way of keeping you from receiving, because he's wanted to give it to you the whole time. Hallelujah. See, I just love that place called done. Because the more you work yourself towards the cross and towards everything he said you are, and especially what he's done for you, and know that one of his sovereign traits is immutability, which means it's impossible for him to lie. It's what it said. He can't lie. Can't. So what did he give us to use? His word. And he can't lie. He can't. And he says, I'm healed. He says, I'm free. I'm not going to stop. It's not him. It's me. And I'm not going to stop till we can round up . Can you imagine you taking a stroll through the children's hospital? And all those machines that they're hooked up to start lighting up because everything's gone normal in them. When Jesus gave instructions to the apostles, he said, to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast devils out. You know, the usual. You know, if I was born deaf, dumb, blind, You wouldn't leave me that way, would you? No. We'll have our revival. A couple of the visions that killed me. One was a hypothetical vision that he gave me. I knew it wouldn't be like that, but that's what caused me to understand just the point he was trying to make. And it was flashed in a second, but I could see the whole thing roll and knew what he was talking about. It was the day of reward. There was a king's highway in heaven. And I got to ride in this procession, and I was going to go get my reward. So that's how I knew that it wasn't really an accurate vision, but was making a point. So here I'm riding in this procession, and there's so many people on each side of the road that they had to have angelic crowd control. See what I mean? Well, he was setting up on a throne, and you had these monstrous stairs you could ascend to the throne there, and that's when he would give you your reward. And so here I am starting to walk up the stairs. That's when the cute, real cute little girl come in. Stuck her hand in mine, and nobody stopped her. She bolted through the crowd. The angels let her go, everybody. Slipped that little hand in mine. She said, "Mister, I seen the way the Lamb looked at you. I'm a child of war. I'm a child of abortion. A child of starvation. A child of disease. He said, "But mister, the Lamb extravagantly flows, just swallows us in his love. You know what that makes you feel like? You wished you could do something for him. Said, I'd gladly trade places with you. Go back. I don't care what that life would bring. Just to be able to do something for the Lamb." One time I was talking to someone, and the child looked like they was going to be born severely, severely handicapped. And they, subject of abortion came up. They said, "What would you do?" I said, "I'd believe. I'd believe." "Well, what if?" "No what ifs. I'd believe." He said, "Why?" "The last thing you want is your child looking you up in heaven." "Why didn't you believe for me?" Now listen. Our government's getting messed up and stuff like that. But listen to me. If you've had one in the past, Don't you know when he forgives something, he forgives it. He don't hold grudges. He died for everything you hadn't done and everything you could do. When you ask him, he forgave you. Whew. Well, fasting. Maybe you should get the 6 or 7 other tapes we have on it. Hallelujah. We're taking a step at a time. And listen, there's been times in our history, especially the first 100 years when the apostles and good land, those guys had meetings where everybody was healed. You telling me Jesus has changed? No. We were fought by devils that could manage us, and then when those devils couldn't manage us anymore, then the bigger ones came. And I saw them, they belonged to the principality and power class. And they seemed to engage in the glue in the foundation by breaking up long time relationships in church with each other and marriages. Now usually those devils come more deceitfully, like the ones that come and appear as angels of light and that kind of thing. And eventually they want to create an atmosphere around you to where you can communicate and keep heading down the wrong path. I've already fasted through some of that mess. Study history. You find out people were doing such a... that all of a sudden, something goes crazy. About the levels that the miracles are almost unparalleled and the crowds are just swarming. And so many of them. Branham believed that Cain was an offspring of Eve and Satan. He also believed he was Elijah to come. What happened? Well, if we don't get past what they're barring up here, then we'll produce the same kind of history they did. But I'm not going there. I'm not going there. And I will see. We will see our miracles. The word grow like crazy. Teachers galore. And governors and senators trying to deal with the millions of miracles that's taken place in their states. You think we're going to turn this thing over to the devil and darkness just because all hell breaks loose all over the planet? Doesn't change what Jesus did. He warned about the last days. Even the very elect could be deceived if... Come on. You have a teacher. You have a key. You have him receiving from Jesus what is mine, and he's showing it unto you. And you work that. There's not enough power in the devil's operation to get you off the path. We're operating on this side of this line, this corner. But down at the other corner, that's where the kids leave the hospital. How am I going to get through that desert? What'd you pray? I don't know. It wasn't the one to be interpreted. It was praying about his plan in the path. Well, what are you doing? I'm keep praying. And pretty soon he establishes it. We go up the path and he aborted 2 or 3 wrong roads along here. Out ahead. He that searches the heart knows what's the plan of God, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Then we can know all things will be stopped, turned, or destroyed that is not operating together to the good of what God's called you to. All things work together for the good of them love God and are called according to His purpose. But I'm working it on purpose. Why? Because I found out how to pray His plan. I pray it up. And I haven't got there yet, but I've already established it. Devil says, left, left. Yeah, you're the one that's left. I got a multi-billionaire waiting for you. You just turn here, and he'll finance you this. Come on. Turn here. Turn. No, I don't. No, thank you. I don't like the conditions with it. Pretty soon, get up here. Because He's worked this. He's established it in prayer. I get to go there. I'm not going to stop. Hallelujah. Want to go for the ride? You want to cause the ride? Yeah, either one. You want to carry me, I'll rest. Listen, when he told me to pay attention to him and evidently what he needs to get done, I'm going to have to live older. So he said, pay attention. And he says, when I say stop, you start lifting up. Start stopping. And so I thought he was likening it to physical energy, like lifting and throwing and running. And you get, boy, you have a burst of energy in that and settle down. But what he was talking about is fatigue. The kind when your senses have to pay attention for elongated times. Why do you think it goes dark on you for a while? He has to turn you off to get that to shut up long enough to get some rest. So when he warned me about that, it makes me know that we may have 20 years of revival. Can you imagine? 20 years of miracles and testimonies that nobody can explain. Has to be God. Now, this isn't the man on the moon. Besides, we went there. This is available. What Jesus said, any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife, his children and his brothers and sisters, can't be my disciple. The word hate there is actually love less. Because if you don't love them less than him, then you can't love them more. You look out for the temporal things and leave the one thing that's most important alone, that's the eternal things. The only way you can love your family more is by loving him more. For which of you intending to build a tower, set it down first and count the cost whether you have sufficient to finish. Lest happily they that God will say, this man began to build and couldn't finish. What's he talking about? Huh? How many of you count the cost? Well, if you're on a project and you're a builder, you're going to count it down to every nail. So which of you building a tower sets not from first and count the cost? What cost am I? Why did that come after that other statement? He doesn't pick his cross up, follow me, can't be my disciple. Why did that follow? Because counting the cost is choosing Him. Then I'll have enough building material to finish my tower, my family, revival. Are He going against a king with 20,000 and you with your mere 10? How do you know whether to send in an ambassage of peace or you can whip them? Where are you going to come up with the wisdom? No. I counted the cost. I'm going to build my tower. Only way you can love your family more is by loving Him more than them. Every time you love Him more than them, you'll love them more. You can't do them much good in the natural. So, you're here, and you can't speak with tongues. You should not be in your chair. You should be up here on the green line. And if and you come up and get on the green line, he'll rise up. And, gee, he's already here, so I don't know if he comes in on a 45 or he falls from heaven where he comes. But I know he don't come up from below. Man, all you got to do is just say, hey, I want to receive the Holy Ghost, that teacher. I want that prayer language that takes me into the things of God. I like it when He prays you past the hideous problem that used to you tolerate. I tolerate you. And He prays you past it. And you look back and you see how horrible it is because you get to see it through His eyes. You go, oh my God. And He says, yes. And you have faith to leave it. So you're here and you say, I can't speak with tongues. Come up. Come up. I don't know if anybody's here or not. Sometimes I do. And I'll torment relentlessly. Anyway. The time. Lord, people have been asking me all year,
are you fasting yet?
Not yet.
You can have me?
Yeah. I will. Gary used to be really faithful coming every January for the fasting series. He says, every January, I know, all four tapes again. Well, the church isn't thinner from it. Are we? You know, He's always willing to walk with you where you're walking, but He just loves it. When you take His hand and He walks you out. More. I'd like to finish everything He wanted me to do. Not part of it. But there seems to be an anointing here. Okay. Said, why didn't I stick to the interpretation? For I speak to you of my willingness to take you by the hand and to walk with you. Whether you want to walk down the path or out, It is my will. It is my will to always walk up. It's my will to always to bring you forward to more, to all the things I have for you. And at times when you understand these things, then faith comes to your heart and you give me something that I need, that I can take my grace and move your strength forward for a season. Yes, sir. If he's talking to you, this has to do with fasting. If he's talking to you, and I can remember the first fast I went on, I tried to go out in the woods. Every animal out there was in danger. But this is you. I know I got in some like that. And I can tell you, they help. So if you desire, and you want to be stronger in your fasting or about your fasting, doing it, it does its own work. Well, there's a bit of grace here available, I'd say. So if you want, come up for this very popular subject. Not eating. See, it's what you're asking. And he's getting something you need. And along with the giftings, which I have faith right now. It really feels like that. It's not of me, it's him. It's gift faith. And you're supplying the heart that wants to change. So he goes in, makes an adjustment of grace, and suddenly you have compounded strength in the weak area. And you're going, this is good. I can remember going through the fast. One, and hardly knew I did it. Devil got mad at me later. But the fast wasn't hard that year for some reason. I got to see some miracles. After one of those was in Hawaii and preaching downstairs, my son Bill, he wheeled a guy down because there's no elevator down there. He wheeled a guy down in a wheelchair. He'd been in it a long time. Well, Bill had stepped out of the building when we got to him in the prayer line. He jumped up and walked out of it. So Bill come back and says, where's the guy? I've got to haul him back up the stairs. I said, there's his chair right there, Bill. He ran up the stairs. Come on. First time I saw God heal somebody, I wept because I thought, God, you were in the same room that close with me to do something like that. I just wept. See, he's abundantly here for you. So, I'm just going to lay hands on you and to impart that. If he says anything to me, I'll tell you. But I know what he wants. It's already settled. See, you got to know that heaven is waiting for you because you love him and you've been born again. He's going to love you forever. You'll be with him. But see, the word's given you a chance to do something for him. See, I'll get to live eternity out knowing I did something. Although the child wasn't suffering, she just says, oh, he couldn't love us anymore. I would like to do something for him. That's how it was. Father, thank you for that grace. Part that.